You're listening to the Parent Pod Podcast by Gymboree Play and Music with Adonica Shaw, a weekly conversation about early childhood development topics for parents with children ages 0 to 5. While the content of this show is meant to be informative, it is not meant to replace the guidance of your physician, therapist, or pediatrician.
Hello, and welcome to the Parent Pod Podcast. I'm your host, Adonica Shaw, and today I am joined by Dr. Yami Kazorla, and we're going to be speaking about how you can transform your children's diet to be one that's more healthy, nutritious, and one that brings more life into your lifestyle. Dr. Yami is a board-certified pediatrician, a certified lifestyle medicine physician, a national board-certified health and wellness coach, an author, and the podcast host of her own podcast, as well as a professional speaker. She is a passionate promoter of healthy lifestyles, especially in regards to the power of plant-based diets for the prevention of chronic diseases. She founded VeggieFitKids.com, where she provides information on plant-based diets for children. She is also the host, and I think we mentioned this a couple of seconds ago, she's the host of Veggie Doctor Radio. Dr. Yami, thank you for being on the show and welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure.
Thank you. And I want to give you the floor for just a moment to give our listeners a sense of what your personal philosophy is around food, around nutrition, and around your practice when it comes to working with young children and transforming their diets away from probably sugars and candy to something that is far more nutritious and healthy.
Yes. Oh, that's a great question. I'm also a mother. I have two children. And besides being a doctor, I'm a health and wellness coach. And I'm my own person too, on my own eating and well-being journey. So whenever I direct any information or do any education, whether it's in the office or online, there's three main goals that I have for children and for my clients. And the first one is to just help them learn how to have health and well-being and longevity. The second goal is to decrease the risk of chronic disease, which a lot of chronic diseases in the United States, 80 to 90% are actually preventable with diet and lifestyle factors. And then the third goal is to help children develop eating and body confidence. So I want parents to be able to give them the tools so that whenever they leave the household and they go off into their own lives, college and beyond, they're going to be able to navigate the world of eating in a way that's health promoting.
No, that's a tremendous addition to the bio. I think that that helps parents really situate this conversation and then to understand what it is that you are offering to them by way of this interview, but how you can really help their family flourish. Mm-hmm. I think some initial questions that I have would be, what really brought you into this veggie fit lifestyle? And could you possibly explain the difference to our listeners between perhaps a vegan diet versus plant-based versus a vegetarian diet? Because I think that there's a lot of misinformation that floats around on social media in terms of the differences between those things and how they ultimately help boost our immune system and then help keep children healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, the reason I even came into this space is because I was looking for a simple solution. I was looking for a simple solution, not just for my patients, but for myself. I do have a book in which I wrote about my own journey, which is long and complex when it comes to eating in my body. But once I was in practice as a pediatrician, I was frustrated. I was frustrated with helping families and feeling like I wasn't making any progress. And when I discovered the power of eating more plants and eating more whole foods in general, even if they aren't all plants, that's when I knew that I had something special. And like I said before, 80 to 90% of chronic conditions. So this is going to include things like diabetes, which is so common in our country, heart disease, heart attacks, strokes, high blood pressure, even dementia and Alzheimer's disease. These conditions can all be decreased. The risk of these can be decreased by the food that we choose to eat and the lifestyle habits that we choose to live. And so because of that, I started learning more about plant-based nutrition, which is one of those things that can be a little bit tricky for doctors, because as a pediatrician, I was taught that children need to have certain things in order to grow strong and healthy, but I wasn't really taught how important it was to eat in a way that helped prevent disease. So to answer your second question, currently, there's a lot of different talks about fad diets and things like this. And what I want parents to remember the most, no matter what I say after this, is that it's really important to try to get more whole plant foods into their own diet and into the diet of their children. So what are those? Fruits, vegetables, whole grains, beans, nuts, and seeds. Okay. That is, it's as basic as that. Trying to get those foods in as often as possible throughout the meals and the snacks. It doesn't have to be all or nothing, but the more whole plant foods that we eat, the more we're going to get fiber, which has so many benefits, not just what people know that it helps you go to the bathroom, but beyond that, many antioxidants, which help decrease disease, both chronic diseases and things like infections, especially now in this day and age, we're worried about having infections like the COVID-19. And then because they're whole, they also have water in them. So that fiber combined with water leads to a feeling of satiety or fullness, which at the end of the day helps us eat appropriate amounts of calories, which I don't really talk about calories to parents, but that's why it works that way. So the difference between the three, so plant-based just means that you are eating plants. So like I said before, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, beans, nuts, and seeds. You can take it to mean 100% plant-based, which whenever you see something on a package at a store and it says plant-based, that's what it means, that it only has plants. It has no animal products, no eggs, no dairy, no meat in it, okay? The term vegan applies more to an ethical, compassionate stance. So it also means that it only has plants in it, no animal products. But in addition, it can apply to other products that we buy, such as textiles. So there's not going to be any animal skins, no leather, no wool, angora, none of those things. And also can apply to sweeteners. Vegans don't eat honey and those sorts of things. When you talk about vegetarian, you really have to clarify. So if you have a friend or family member that calls themselves a vegetarian, really you need to ask, because it can be on the spectrum. Somebody that might call themselves vegetarian and they don't eat any animal products. And some people call themselves vegetarian and they may have eggs, dairy, they call those lacto-ovo-vegetarians. There's even some people that call themselves vegetarian and they might actually eat fish or chicken meat. So really, that's one of those terms that you need to clarify. But in general, that's kind of what it means. Most people that call themselves vegetarians are lacto-ovo-vegetarians. So they don't eat any meat, but they do consume egg and dairy.
Now, one of the questions that I'm thinking of as you're speaking, particularly as a parent myself, when you're saying plant-based, and I recognize that children would need to have whole foods, and that would be like vegetables or fruits that you can find either at an actual whole food store, but any grocery store that's near you that is not processed, that is in its natural state where you can steam it or cook it fairly easily without adding a bunch of stuff to it to make sure that it's still healthy for your family. But the question I'm thinking of is, can you realistically, particularly for children that are under 18, sustain them purely on that type of a diet? Now, I'm in my mid-30s, and admittedly, I am a millennial, okay? And so for me, I was raised to believe that you're supposed to have some kind of protein in your diet. So if parents wanted to do this, is this whole food diet enough, or this plant-based food diet enough, and they need to also maybe supplement with pills or gummy vitamins or whatever? Or is there a way to prepare their meals in which they're getting the proteins, but then also the equivalent to what they would get in a quote unquote regular diet to make sure that they would grow and really develop in the same way that children who had more of a quote unquote normal or normative diet? Is there any difference? Is there something that parents should be aware of that they need to do in addition to feeding their children whole foods to make sure that they still have the same level of growth and development inside of their body?
Yeah, so I love this question. This is one of the most common questions I get almost every day, I would say. Just to clarify, whole foods just means that it is not processed. So anything can be a whole food. You can arguably say that a chicken breast, minimally processed, is more of a whole food. But what I'm talking about is whole plant foods. So that is more than just fruits and vegetables. So fruits, vegetables, whole grains, beans, nuts, and seeds, which is a lot of different foods. It's actually way more variety than animal products, because when we eat animal products, it's only just a few different things that we're really eating. We're eating chicken eggs, we're eating cow milk, we're eating cow flesh, chicken flesh, pork, and sometimes lamb. But really, that's only like five or six things. Whenever you look at the world of whole plant foods, just with beans, there's close to 400 varieties of edible beans. So you're talking about your lentils, your split peas, your chickpeas, your kidney beans, your black beans, on and on and on and on. There is a huge misconception, first of all, misconception, and second of all, overemphasis on protein. One thing that I want to make absolutely clear is that all whole plant foods, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, beans, nuts, and seeds, all of them contain protein. Protein is just one macronutrient, and it's present in all whole plant foods. In fact, all whole plant foods don't just only contain protein. All whole plant foods also contain carbohydrates and fat. They're just in varying percentages. So whenever you think of a whole plant food that's really high in protein, that macronutrient, it has a higher composition of protein, you're going to think of your lentils, beans, split peas, you're going to think of your nuts. But there's also some vegetables. Broccoli actually has a very high percentage of protein for its calories. So whenever you compare broccoli calorie per calorie to beef, it actually has about the same amount of protein. The difference is that broccoli is very low in calories. So you can eat a lot more broccoli for the same amount of calories than you can beef. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, yes, there's no concern about protein. We overemphasize protein, and that's actually one of the problems in the United States. We get so hung up on protein and thinking that we need so much protein that we overemphasize animal products, and this leads to a couple of problems. One, it actually decreases our longevity. So if you look at studies on aging and longevity, people that consume more animal protein don't live quite as long, but it can also affect our kidneys and also increases our risk of chronic conditions, like I said before, the heart disease and all those things. And these things start early. So that's why it's especially important to start thinking about this when we have young children. So I don't get concerned about protein at all, as long as people are consuming sufficient calories, which is not generally a problem. Now, can there be a problem with a young child that you feed whole plant foods to? There can. And one of the issues that can happen, which is not very common, is if there's a family that's really emphasizing raw fruits and vegetables, and that's all that a young child is eating, I would say more of a toddler, that can lead to a calorie problem because those foods are so high in fiber, so high in water content, that when a child is eating those foods, they get full quickly. And then by the end of the day, they haven't eaten enough. And this is a recurrent issue. We all know that toddlers, some days they eat very little and some days they eat more. we don't have to worry about it on a day-to-day basis. It's more of looking at a whole week in time as far as variety and how much they're eating. But if a child is only eating raw foods, raw fruits and vegetables, then that can be a problem. But this really doesn't happen very often, especially if you're offering those beans, nuts and seeds, your whole grains, along with the fruits and the vegetables.
Now, as I'm listening to this, I feel like particularly for families that have toddler children, there's a gap that you and I really haven't covered yet, and that's milk. Mm-hmm. So when a mom, and I don't want to say that all moms wean off of breast milk, because I recognize that not everybody can breastfeed. Mm-hmm. But in that transition from formula or breast milk onto quote unquote a milk diet, mm-hmm. what are some of the things that parents should consider? So most recently, when I've been in the grocery store, and honestly, I think maybe it was 2 days ago, I got like a notification on my phone that all of these celebrities are investing in this product called Oatly, which mm-hmm. is apparently oat milk. So I was thinking I was doing like the big thing when my kids were small with like soy milk, or then it turned into cashew milk, and then it turned into almond milk, and now it's oat milk. Can you please explain to me what the difference is between these milks, and if one might be more beneficial in terms of nutrition for toddlers and how we are approaching their diet than others? Or would you say that it might be better to attempt to at least give them the regular vitamin D cow's milk as a way to help them develop primarily? And if that's not available, maybe go towards the others. I just don't know where all of these milks stand in the hierarchy of milks for young children.
Yeah, that's a great question. So there are almost 20 commercially available plant milks. So that's why you're seeing all of these new products. And it's because the demand is growing. There's a lot of people that are recognizing that cow milk and dairy just aren't suiting them. There is a high percentage of lactose intolerance, especially among people of color. So there are some communities, some ethnic communities, where lactose intolerance is nearly 90%. And, you know, for listeners out there that experience this themselves, they know what this is like. Lactose intolerance is pretty rare under the age of 3. So children may not be experiencing it, but one of the things that I see a lot when it comes to cow's milk and cow dairy exposure in children is constipation. A lot of parents will probably identify with me on this one. Children that suddenly they start drinking cow milk, and then they start having hard, pebbly stools and straining and skipping days in between bowel movements, chronic abdominal pain. And then when they become teenagers, those that consume a lot of dairy may struggle with acne, menstrual pain, and those kinds of issues. So I see a lot of adverse effects from cow's milk. And because of that, I don't love it. In fact, my families that are willing and open to do a different kind of milk, that's what I recommend. However, we don't have to get hung up on milk, whether it's cow milk or plant-based milk, to be the main source of nutrition for our toddlers. So like you said, after they turn 1, for a full-term baby, preemies may need to be on formula longer. And then, of course, moms that breastfeed, they may breastfeed their children to 2, 2.5. So if moms are still nursing a couple of times a day, you don't have to worry about giving any other kind of milk. Just let the child eat their meals and their snacks. If mom has weaned off the breast and then we have weaned off of formula, then what I recommend is a couple of servings, up to 16 ounces of an unsweetened fortified plant-based milk. And the ones that are going to be most similar to cow milk as far as calories go, which is what I get concerned about the most, but I'm not super concerned about, especially if you have a really good eater, is going to be a soy milk or something like a pea protein, like Ripple, something like that. Some of the plant-based milks are very low in calorie. Almond milk is one of those. It's really low in calorie, which is great for adults, especially if, you know, they're trying to watch their calorie intake. But for children, It may not be quite enough. Now, whenever you say vitamin D cow milk, just a reminder that vitamin D is a supplement that's added to cow milk. Vitamin D is naturally low in all mammalian milk. So even in human breast milk, vitamin D is very low. So it's not something that's just inherently there, it's added to the milk. So the same thing happens in plant-based milk. That's why it's called a fortified milk. They add the vitamin D, they add B12, they may add extra calcium. And so it's a fortified milk, but I do want parents to choose unsweetened because otherwise they may be getting extra sugar in the diet that doesn't need to be there.
But if a mom is still breastfeeding, mm-hmm. is it enough for her to breastfeed and then take a vitamin D supplement, or is that not recommended?
Yeah, she definitely can. And of course, breastfeeding babies, we do recommend that they be supplemented with vitamin D because in formula, the vitamin D is added. So you can either give your baby or your child a supplement, which is what I recommend after children turn one. All of my patients, I put them on a supplement. And of course, breastfeeding babies after birth, we put them on a vitamin D supplement. But mothers can also super supplement themselves. And at this point, what's recommended for breastfeeding mothers is to take a minimum of 6,400 international units of vitamin D per day while she's breastfeeding so that the child can get sufficient vitamin D. If she's not able to take that much or if there's any, you know, concern about it, then you can just give your child an extra vitamin D supplement. It's very inexpensive and it's not difficult.
No, that's tremendous advice for our listeners. I'm thinking the one thing I have in the back of my mind right now, because I do have a toddler slash kind of early preschooler, are what are some practical meals a parent can make? Mm-hmm. I know that you mentioned broccoli, and my son loves broccoli. It's just that I recognize it makes him a little gassy, if I'm being honest with you. So, are there some practical meals that parents can make that are easy to make? So even if they're making quote unquote a traditional meal for other family members or themselves, where it doesn't take that much time, but the children will like it and they still get their nutrients. Are there some like go-to snacks that you can think of that are healthy, nutritious, but that also kind of fall into this veggie diet that you promote and speak about?
Yes. So first of all, keep it simple. And I generally recommend that once children are between 9 and 12 months old, that they eat what the parents eat. And this is also a great time for parents to start looking at their own diet if they haven't already. So I know that there are some parents that they're like, you know, I really want my child to eat healthy, but and so they're feeding the child all this, you know, healthy food, like the fruits and the vegetables and beans and everything, but they themselves are having all the fried processed foods. So moms and dads, you are a role model and your children are watching you. So this is a great time for you to be like, okay, what changes can I make? Now, it doesn't have to be all or nothing and it doesn't have to be overnight. So even just getting more veggies in your diet, getting more fruits in your diet. But what I generally recommend is that we all eat the same meal. So, you know, if you're going to make quinoa and beans and broccoli for dinner, then that's what you offer the child as well. Now, you don't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be one of these things that if you know that your child prefers a certain thing and may not accept a certain thing as much, you don't have to only offer them things that you want them to eat and not offer them the things that you know that they eat. It's okay to give them something that they like along with something that's new or something that they're still learning to like. But when it comes to children learning to like and accept food, the most common concept is that they learn to like and accept food from consistency and exposure. That is the way that we develop food preferences. So you have to keep exposing them. So when it comes to families that are making one meal for themselves and another meal for the children, those children are not ever going to learn to accept those other foods because you're not giving them the opportunity. So you offer them the foods and then you allow them to make the decision whether they want to consume that food and how much they want to consume of that food. But keep it simple. So I'm just thinking of, you know, things that we like at my house for breakfast. We do this cute little, what we call a fruit roll-up. You just get a whole grain or a whole wheat tortilla. You spread some unsweetened peanut butter and chop some fruit. You can even cut that into little pinwheels, you know, roll it up. It's super easy. Same thing for lunch. You know, you just take that same whole wheat, whole grain tortilla and instead put hummus on there. You can put some spinach, some shredded carrot. And of course, depending on the age of your child and how well, you know, like if they're ready for harder foods, you can steam the veggies that go in there or just have separate, like a little bit of steamed broccoli, hummus on the side, and, you know, their little whole grain bread or cracker or something like that. So, you know, you just try to generally keep these foods, your fruits, your veggies, your whole grains, your beans, your nut and seed butters, and rotate them. And when it comes to the family meal, it can be the same as what you offer the child. You don't have to do something separate for them.
No, thank you so much for that explanation.
I think we have just a couple of more questions here, but the first I would want to know is, I know that you're a pediatrician outside of nutrition and diet. Is there a recommended multivitamin or children's vitamin that you give to your clients or to your patients?
Well, there's so many brands out there, so it's hard to keep up with everything. But the main thing is when I tell my families, as far as supplements, to look for a supplement that has vitamin D and B12 in it. And the vitamin D in general should be at least 400 international units per day. And then B12 is usually, you know, a few micrograms per day for a daily multivitamin. One brand that I really like and trust is Dr. Furman's multivitamins, because he makes sure that he includes things in there that might be necessary to just kind of make up for a few little things, but keeps things out that could be toxic, especially if it's ingested in larger amounts. And so I trust those vitamins. I know that one of the ones that's very liked and used a lot by my patient families is Smarty Pants brand, just because it comes in gummy form, so it's easier. I just caution families anytime they're using any of these gummy things to know that it does increase the risk of cavities. So to make sure that they are brushing their child's teeth afterwards and minimize any other gummy exposure, and to make sure that they talk to their children that this is a vitamin and not a candy and those sorts of things. But I really recommend that families do reach out to their own physician and pediatrician and ask them if they have any specific recommendations. Because like I said, the world of vitamins and supplements is very large. And so each practitioner might have their own preferences.
No, thank you so much for that explanation. I feel like that helps me kind of look at some of the ingredients inside of those vitamins, particularly when I'm at Smart and Final or Costco, and determine whether or not it's actually something that I'm looking for, or perhaps something my son pulled off the shelf because it's cute and colorful.
Exactly.
Now, in terms of book recommendations, I know that every month Gymboree Plain Music puts out books for children, but we've been trying to encourage our parents and our families to read as well. Are there any books, even if it's your own, that you would recommend for parents to read or research so that they have a better understanding of their child's diet? And by child, I want to say it can be a child that's 0 to 5, but I know that you're a pediatrician. So quite frankly, anybody that might fall under your umbrella.
Yes. So I mentioned my book, and there's so much more than we just talked about when it comes to feeding children. And so I want parents to have a resource that helps them feel confident, but also reassured, and gives them the ability to step back, relax, take a deep breath, and not be so stressed out. So that's why I wrote my book. And my book's called A Parent's Guide to Intuitive Eating: How to Raise Kids Who Love to Eat Healthy. And in the book, I talk about how to feed your child. That's the main thing I talk about. But I also talk about eating more plant foods. Like I said, it's not all or nothing. I don't expect people to go 100% plant-based after they read this book, but to learn how they can start including more whole plant foods. The other book that I really like, it's a very quick read, and it can help a lot of parents that believe that they have a child that is a picky eater, is called Helping Your Child with Extreme Picky Eating, a step-by-step guide for overcoming selective eating, food aversion, and feeding disorders. And it's by Katya Rowell, R-O-W-E-L-L, M-D. She's also a physician, and I've interviewed her on my podcast. And I think that this helps so many parents when it comes to feeding their child that they think is an extreme picky eater.
No, those are tremendous options. I definitely think for me, my child is, well, no, I'll say this. I have three different children and they all had their own eating style. Like my daughter is 11, for example, and you cannot pay her to eat crust on a sandwich. Like, ew, crust. And I'm thinking to myself, like, back in my day, you know, you ate whatever people put in front of you, you know, like you didn't get to just choose not to eat the crust. It was like, that's part of the meal. You better figure it out, girlfriend. But with my toddler, like he loves veggies and he'll eat a lot of broccoli. Like I said, I think it just makes him a little gassy. And so at times I'm looking for alternatives that he will love, but then also maybe won't mess up his digestive system and, make him feel a little uneasy and uncomfortable overnight, because that's honestly when I notice it the most, where he can't sleep or he's constantly getting back up and forth to go to the bathroom. But no, a lot of these recommendations that you've given, including those books, I think will be incredibly helpful for me in terms of guiding his diet, but then helping him to feel more comfortable in his own skin. Now, the last question I have for you is probably the question everybody's thinking of at this point, which is, how can they get in touch with you? I know if we Google your name, there's a ton of things that come up, but I really want to make sure that our audience and our guest has the opportunity to connect with you easily. So which platform are they most likely to get a response out of you within 24 to 48 hours?
Well, I'm very active on Instagram, and you can find me at the Dr. Yami. So Instagram is a great place. I post lots of content every week, and I also post my podcast episodes and everything there so people can find it. And then the next best place is going to be at my website, which is dryami.com, and that's spelled out dryami.com. And then from there, you can find all of my resources that are scattered everywhere across the web. But I am so happy to be of service to families, because I know how stressful it can be to help to feed children. And I know also how committed parents are to having children that are growing up healthy with good well-being and hopefully longevity. So I'm very happy to serve.
Thank you so much for being with us today and for your expertise and for your time. I know that you're certainly quite busy, particularly with children getting ready to go back into that new school year and needing to connect with parents about how to get them best prepared and make sure that their health is maintained, whether they're in an actual school classroom this year or they're at home working with mom and dad or other family members or people in their community to make sure that they are getting their education. So thank you so much for being with us. For everybody else that's at home, thank you so much for following along to the Parent Pod podcast. We encourage you to sound off on social media with the Parent Pod hashtag, and feel free to mention Jimbery Play and Music or our wonderful guest, and we will be happy to clarify any of the comments that are mentioned in this show and to give you further advice.
To learn more about this week's episode or the content discussed in the episode, be sure to follow Jimbery Play and Music on Facebook.